At this time, I'm going to call up Kara Braun.
As we celebrate Easter, we celebrate the power that the Lord had over death and how that has changed people's lives for thousands of years. And now we're going to have Kara come share the story of how God has changed her life. So, Kara, share your story.
Good morning. My name is Kara Braun, Heinrichs before I got married to Jordy. Sharing my testimony to become a member at Bridgeway has been a long time coming. I've known I should, at least in a theoretical someday kind of way, for a lot of years. The recent discussions and changes around membership really prompted me to finally speak up. It hasn't really made this any easier, though, knowing that it was coming. I grew up in Weimark. I have an older brother, Nolan, and our parents are John and Suzanne. I attended Weimark School and then the Swift Current Comp, where I now teach full-time. I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember. So I've never actually known what it's like to live not knowing God, not knowing that Jesus Christ loved me so completely that he willingly died on the cross to rescue me from my sins. Instead, I feel like I've lived my life identifying with Paul when he said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." My life is a story of God's unlimited grace, of his continuous love, help, and comfort. I've spent most of my life seeking to belong somewhere. And to be honest, even though I became a Christian at a very young age, church has never felt like that place. It's not easy to say that standing in front of a church, but it's true. I've gone to church all my life, but I've struggled deeply with feeling separate and out of place. When I was in elementary school, my parents brought us to Sunday school, but we rarely stayed for church. I'd stand outside the doors after Sunday school waiting to be picked up while everyone else was walking in. I felt like everyone was staring at an invisible sign on my head that said I didn't belong. When I was older, we attended Bridgeway for a while because my brother had friends here. I never felt truly welcomed. It seemed like no matter how many times I came, I was always still a visitor. My family let me start attending another church with family friends, and it was at that church in Gordage that I was baptized in grade 9. I was excited to be baptized. I remember the feeling of coming up out of the water, full of excitement and joy. I am thankful that I was baptized then. However, I spent many years feeling guilty that everything seemed to fall apart after that. I remember berating myself for not being a better Christian afterwards, for hitting the darkest time of my life. My family had a few tough years. There were funerals and fights and breakdowns. I never doubted God's existence, but I got lost. I was so full of pain and loneliness that I didn't know how to reach God or how to let him reach me. I kept attending church and youth group. I went to youth conferences and Bible camp. But the loneliness and the sense that I didn't belong anywhere, at church, at school, with friends, or with family, ate away at me. I felt darkness so complete that I couldn't see. I started struggling even before I was baptized, but after being baptized, I started calling it depression. I didn't really talk about it. In high school, I tried to fill the emptiness with anything: music, academic success, books, boyfriends, sports, writing, you name it. No matter what I did, there were always nights where I'd find myself sitting alone in my room, feeling like my chest was splitting open. I'd silently scream to God while I sat in the dark, and I'd feel so alone. I started self-injuring to cope, to escape, and it trapped me, and it separated me from God. I caused a lot of people a lot of pain. I knew everything about God in my head, but I was trapped. And I knew deep down that all of the people that I begged to save me, and all of the people who tried to save me that I didn't want to, that they could do nothing. I knew that it came down to me and to God. It came down to God's grace and God's faithfulness and my willingness to surrender. During one of my hospital stays, I read Lamentations and came across verses that I have clung to. Lamentations 3:19-24. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In grade 12, during my final hospital visit, I prayed a prayer of desperation, and God answered. It felt like God was telling me that it was time to make a choice. Who or what was I going to serve? It wasn't even a contest. How could I choose anything but the one who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross? Despite everything I have ever done, despite everything I continue to do, he wanted to save me, even if it meant inconceivable suffering. I still struggle with old sins that haunt me, but I have never again been trapped as I had been. God came to save sinners, and he saved me. He is still saving me, day after day after day. His grace is limitless, and he is working even when we cannot see it. Right after grade 12, I met Jordy, and we figured out pretty quickly that we were going to get married. God gifted us to each other. Jordy models Christ's love in our home, and it's that stable, unconditional love through the good days and bad days that has been a life changer for me, too. God has also used Jordy as a means to reconcile me to church. After being baptized, the pastor of the church I was attending ended up leaving. So when the family I was attending with switched churches, I went along with them. I attended that church while struggling with the depression I mentioned. I made a lot of mistakes in that church, and that church made some of their own mistakes too. After that, church was even more uncomfortable. After getting married, Jordy and I lived in Saskatoon and Delisle while I finished my education degree. We knew we were going to be moving back to Swift Current, so it was easy to just attend church and not get invested or involved. When we moved back, I had a hard time, to be honest, getting excited about attending Ridgeway. But God had a plan. We started helping with youth, and God started worming Ridgeway and the people here into my heart. Now when I look around this room, I see the faces of so many people that I treasure. And it's so bittersweet to see the kids who were just starting in youth when we started helping grow up and graduate and start lives of their own. It's such a joyful reminder of how God works. And God has continued working away at me in the last few years. About a year and a half ago, Berkeley was born. Since then, I've struggled with a lot of stress and anxiety, but I've clung to the reminder in Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but always pray, trusting and thanking God. Going back to work full-time was one of the hardest things I've ever done, but God has shown me that I am where he wants me right now, even if it's difficult. And recently, since about Christmas time, it seems like everywhere I go, I keep hearing the same thing. It's in the Bible, it's in sermons, it's in books, the if gathering that we had here, through recent events in our lives. What am I holding on to too tightly? Where am I placing my hope, my trust? What is my joy dependent upon? Am I willing to surrender, to obey, to trust even when I do not understand? God's been reminding me of the reality of eternity, waking me up from the safe complacency that the rhythm of this world lulls us into. And if I'm being completely honest, it is both terrifying and painful. A few weeks ago, we had a second early miscarriage in only a few short months. They were both very early, and I know it's not a unique experience, but I still don't always know how to feel. There's a lot of confusion and disappointment and pain. I don't understand it. I don't know why it's happening this way, but I almost feel like God was preparing me for this when he was asking me if I was willing to trust him with everything. I will likely never understand why this has happened. There might not even be a why. But God is ever present, and he is ever loving. When my heart is breaking, I know that his is too. He's even sent me encouragers who don't know why they're encouraging me, just that they need to. There's also a song that I keep playing over and over again called Never Let Go. It says, in joy and pain, in sun and rain, you're the same. You never let go. I will continue to cling to God as I have done in the past, and I will praise him with gratitude in my heart for the blessings and for his faithful promises, even when it's hard and it hurts. For as Job said, God has delivered me from going down to the pit, and I shall live to enjoy the light of life. God's sacrifice, Jesus' death and resurrection, the eternity that he is offering us, it's real. And it has never felt more real to me. And I have to live like it is. These past few weeks, I felt like it would have been easier to say that now just isn't a good time to become a member. I'm still struggling. I think I always will. But God is gracious and God is patient. And I know that God is using and has used the ugly things in my life, the weaknesses, to bring me to a point of surrender to him. So here I am. I see Bridgeway surrendering to God, really seeking him even when it's uncomfortable. And God has prompted me to finally get up here and to share my testimony and to say that I truly wish, truly desire to be a member of this church and the work that he is doing here. Thank you.